Welcome in, everybody. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Happy Wednesday. Yes, this is the second podcast of the day. We got a bonus one here for you right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day, Louis DiBiase joining you. And why we're doing an extra pod, we got our preview show between Gino Camilleri and the Locked On Seahawks podcast as we get into all the X's and O's of this coming wild card weekend at Lincoln Financial Field, the Eagles taking on the Seattle Seahawks. But you guys heard me hold off on the practice squad players and a lot of the backups yesterday on Stock Up, Stock Down, the guys that have really helped turn around this Eagles season from 5-7 to 9-7 in an NFC East championship and also a playoff berth for the third straight year. And it's because I wanted to have on a special guest today, and it's Andrew DiCecco. He has Eagles coverage on Patreon. He's formerly of the Eagles Wire on the USA Today Sports Network. Now he also writes for the Jaguar Maven, and he's a great draft guy to follow throughout the offseason for the Pro Football Network. And his main thing in football coverage is trying to find the diamonds in the rough, evaluating players at smaller schools that are drafted later, that are on the practice squad, that shine in the preseason. He loves the stories of Greg Ward, who he's talked to personally, and, you know, Marcus Johnson, who used to be on the Eagles, and, you know, a Boston Scott, Robert Davis, Joshua Perkins. It's really his forte evaluating those kind of players. So I wanted to go deep into what, just how impactful these young, up-and-coming, out-of-nowhere, seemingly, players, what they have done for this Eagles team, for Carson Wentz, and for Doug Peterson, and for the future of this organization, both on and off the field. And I think it, too, their success is a really good lesson about talent evaluation in the NFL that we can all learn from, the fans, the media, and the organizations themselves, because there's a lot of groupthink in football, and a lot of these guys never really get an opportunity just based on the label that are placed on them heading into the pro level at the NFL level. So we'll get into all of that with Andrew DiCecco coming up next, because these guys have been one of the coolest stories in not just Eagles history, but like NFL history. The 2019 Eagles will never be forgotten for how they made the playoffs, because it's one of the most unique things ever. And while you don't want to see the catastrophic amount of injuries they have suffered, it has resulted, though, in a unique, just dramatic, enticing, you know, every word you can think of, just an amazing story of resiliency for this Philadelphia Eagles team to make the playoffs. So, you know, we'll get into it. And I was thinking about it the other day. It's also funny. I feel like this is going to raise the bar for starters now, like for stars, I should say, not starters. Like, you know, when DeSean Jackson comes back and the Eagles seemingly probably draft their wide receiver very high and all these starters come back, if they're struggling once again, knowing Eagles fans, they're going to hold this run over their heads. Like if DeSean Jackson starts dropping footballs, or if they're losing again at the beginning of the 2020 season, you're going to hear a lot of people be like, you know, just throw Boston Scott back in there, or Greg Ward or Joshua Perkins. You know, we had practice squad guys doing it and now you bums can't do it. Like, I could totally see that happening next year, because this is such an awesome, unique story, and it's one that fans will never forget. And it's going to be really, it's, you're going to be forever grateful for these players, because while, yes, the season might not end in a Super Bowl win like many expected, it definitely changed the narrative of the 2019 season. It went from being grouped in there with the dream team of 2011, quote unquote, the dream team. It was more like a nightmare. The redeem team, the new look Chip Kelly roster in 2015, it was going to be up there with some of the most disappointing seasons in Eagles history. Instead, it's going to be up there with 2017, 2018, 2013, some of the most, you know, fun, thrilling, surprising outcomes of a regular season and hopefully a playoff run. And it's all because of, of course, you got to give credit to the core pieces on defense and offense: Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson, Malcolm Jenkins, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham. But without Greg Ward, Boston Scott, Joshua Perkins, Deontay Burnett, Matt Pryor, TJ Edwards, without these guys, the season does not end in a playoff berth. So let's get into it. We got to hit one break here, and then coming up next, I sit down with Andrew DiCecco of Patreon, great Eagles beat reporter to follow on Twitter. So we'll get to him coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back in. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast, a bonus edition right here on this Wednesday afternoon. Louis DiBiase joining you here as always, but I'm joined by a very special guest. I wanted to bring him in specifically to talk about a lot of these practice squad players, these backups, and I don't even want to label them, you know, those definitions anymore because of the way they've played for this Eagles team down the stretch to help them make the playoffs. Joining me right now on the Locked On Eagles podcast is Andrew DiCecco. He is providing Eagles coverage, some really damn good Eagles coverage on Patreon. He also reports for the Jaguar Maven, also some awesome draft coverage for the Pro Football Network. Andrew, you're a big-time draft guy, you know, especially I really like listening and, you know, reading your content mostly about like the diamonds in the rough, you know, the undervalued prospects, you know, later in the draft, smaller schools, you know, practice squad type of guys. You got to be enjoying it, you know, as someone that really likes to evaluate that kind of talent. You got to be enjoying this run that the Eagles have been on this last month, going 4-0 and making the postseason with who has really been featured on both sides of the football.
Absolutely. You know, the 2019 season has been a little bit unconventional, but, you know, it's very much on brand with, you know, the content that I provide and kind of what I enjoy watching.
It really has. And you know, look, I should say, we should give Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson an enormous amount of credit for, I would say, elevating this team through all the injuries. But, you know, I don't think it's justice to say that these players haven't come up huge. I mean, it's a practice squad unit that is now really a playoff squad, and it's not just the practice squad guys, but other backups have stepped up in a huge way. Greg Ward, obviously, Boston Scott, those have been the two big names and the biggest contributors on the offensive side of the football. But, you know, Joshua Perkins stepping up at tight end. Robert Davis made a hell of a catch down the field against New York that was called back. Even Deontay Burnett had a 40-plus yard reception last week after getting called up on the practice squad from the practice squad just a couple days earlier. Matt Pryor at right guard filling in for Brandon Brooks. TJ Edwards, I mean, Andrew, these guys are stepping up. It's not just Wentz and Doug elevating them. These guys are helping to elevate the entire team.
Yeah, and don't forget Anthony Rush.
Exactly.
Defensive tackle from Alabama Birmingham. He you know, he does a lot of dirty work. He's not going to compile a lot of stats and not going to show up in the stat sheet, but, you know, he's going to plug the run, and, you know, he moves bodies around in the interior. So, you know, it's kind of all coming together, and these guys are starting to mesh.
I really think Carson Wentz, I don't know if you would agree, Andrew, and let me know if you do. I think he needed these kind of guys to turn around this season, honestly, because at times in the beginning of the season and in the middle of the year, I thought Wentz was one of the few motivated players that was really trying to not just make the playoffs this year, but really do some damage, make some noise in the NFL. I feel like he needed these motivated guys trying to make their way into the NFL, like Greg Ward and Boston Scott and Perkins and Anthony Rush and all the players we mentioned. I feel like he needed those kind of motivated young players to rally around him more so than the veterans he had before that.
I agree with you there. You know, you look at the offense and you see it was kind of stagnant, very, you know, stale. And you had these, you know, guys that have been integral parts of the Super Bowl team, and you wonder what was going on. But, you know, sometimes you have a lot of veterans that, I'm not saying these guys do, but a lot of times some of these guys have their own agenda, mm-hmm. and they're kind of going through the motions, and, you know, they get paid or their minds focus on other things. But you get these young guys and they're hungry, and, you know, you only get one opportunity. Sometimes you only get one opportunity, and you have to make it count. And, you know, it almost feels like every day is an audition for these guys, and they're trying to make sure that they, you know, they leave their imprint on the NFL and that they have a, you know, they carve out a career for themselves. So you're seeing guys that are, you know, passionate, they're diving for balls, that are making blocks, that are, you know, just, you know, enjoying being out there and truly, you know, they're not taking it for granted.
Well, that's the thing. I think a lot of these guys have made tougher plays, tougher catches, you know, down the field than anyone has for the Eagles this season. And it, again, I agree with you that this might be their only opportunity to make noise at this level, and they are certainly making the most of it. But not just that, Andrew, too. You know, you talked about the veterans and how some of them can have their own agendas. You heard there was anonymous sources that were talking about Carson Wentz, not just this year during the season, but last offseason and even during the season again, talking about how he over-targets Zach Ertz too much. But I think not only have these young practice squad backups, not only have they come on the field and rejuvenated the team on the field, but I also think off the field. I mean, I think you're seeing Malcolm Jenkins have more fun, Brandon Graham, Jason Peters, Malcolm Jenkins. I think these young players have really rubbed off on them.
Yeah, it's like a youth infusion, you know. In Malcolm's case, you know, there's a quote that came out, I guess it was, you know, a month ago, that he said that Greg Ward, he thought Greg Ward should have made the team, you know, over the, you know, out of the gate, you know, in September. And I happen to think that Greg Ward should have made the team in 2017, one of my first articles that I ever wrote. And it was a 53-man roster projection piece. And, you know, I had Alshon, I had Torrey Smith, I had Aguilar, I had Matt Collins, and I had Marcus Johnson, and I had Greg Ward instead of Sheldon Gibson. So he's always had NFL ability. But, you know, I think guys, you know, they see him, see a player like him work so hard for 3 years and do everything the right way and not complain and, you know, do the dirty work on the practice squad. You know, he actually was Brandon Cooks the week of the Super Bowl, you know, in practice. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
And he was Cam Newton in practice when they played the Carolina Panthers and, you know, and Russell Wilson. So he does a lot of these things that don't get written about or reported about. And I think guys have seen that for year after year. And so when he finally got his chance, you start to see, you know, that kind of energy rub off on some of these guys. You know, you get a Boston Scott and you see a guy, he's out there. He might be 5'6", maybe 5'7", running guys over, making moves in the open field, you know, just having fun out there and really making the most of their opportunities. And it's just a joy to watch.
That's really awesome. I did not know those stories about Greg Ward and, you know, the impact he had as pretending to be Cam Newton and Brandon Cooks. But that just goes to show, you know, it took time for him and he had to go to another football league even last spring. But, you know, he earned his way onto the roster and now he's their most reliable wide receiver. I think he honestly, you can say, was their most reliable wide receiver of all of 2019. He has been the most dependable. So it's an incredible story.
You know what's really crazy about Greg Ward? In just seven games, he has 28 catches.
Right.
And Matt Collins played 32 games and has two less catches. And, you know, and Matt Collins made the team over Greg Ward. So it just goes to show you that, you know, I think sometimes teams get caught up in, you know, they prioritize draft picks over, you know, actual talent. And, you know, they're lucky that a team didn't, you know, kind of pilfer Greg Ward off the practice squad. Because, you know, you had that talent sitting there for 3 years. And every year, you know, I'd write an article on Greg Ward. And, you know, people would always ask me, like, why do you keep writing about this guy? He tries out every year and he keeps getting told that he's not good enough. And I was like, he is good enough and you're going to see. And, you know, he finally, you know, he gets a chance to go out there. And, you know, you should see me watching these games, man. I'm so passionate about it because I know all the work that goes into this. And a lot of these guys, they just work hard. They come to work every day and they do everything the right way. And they're blue collar, and I think every Philadelphia Eagles fan should be proud that these guys are on their team.
It seems like Eagles fans were right to get into some of these preseason heroes, Andrew, but I feel like they were maybe in on the wrong ones, right? They loved Paul Turner back in the 2016 offseason, whereas Greg Ward that same season, I remember being in Pittsburgh for that preseason game, he made an incredible one-handed catch along the sidelines. I've never seen a catch like that in person. And so I guess Eagles fans were right to love a lot of these guys. Raheem Mostert, who's doing it over in San Fran, but Greg Ward was the wide receiver, not Ifeanyi Moma or Carlton Agadosi. Paul Turner,
right.
Greg Ward's the one that comes out, and it's really cool.
And, you know, it's former Eagles. It's Marcus Johnson, a guy who was my first interview. I identified him as an NFL talent. He made the team outright, has a Super Bowl ring, and he had a 100-yard game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year. Rashard Davis, I wrote an article on him last summer. He made the team. He was on the practice squad. The Tennessee Titans got called up for the Week 17 game, caught a big pass on Sunday in a game that they needed to get to the playoffs in traffic, took a big hit. You know, guys are making plays. DeAndre Carter has found a home in the slot for the Houston Texans. Chandon Sullivan, another guy I've been an advocate for, he found a role in the secondary for the Green Bay Packers. You know, it goes on and on.
So do you think, with that being said, because you just listed a number of players that maybe the Eagles and fans, the media, didn't really think anything of, although you did, a lot of people probably just based on their label of being a late-round pick or undrafted or, you know, a practice squad kind of guy, they didn't see anything of them. Do you think maybe with the success those guys have had other places, including a Raheem Mostert, who I mentioned earlier, as probably the 49ers' best running back right now, the most productive at least, do you think this might change in the success the Eagles are having now with these new fresh guys from, you know, those areas of talent evaluation? Will this maybe make teams, including the Eagles, or even like the media, us fans, rethink how much value they place on the practice squad, on late round guys, undrafted talent, and even like their preseason and summer performances? Because I think a lot we say, okay, hold off, that, you know, it's the preseason, it's hard to put a lot of value on that. But then you see that translate over for quite a few of these Eagles backups, and it's kind of making me think, well, hold on now, if we do see Greg Ward flashing in the summer, or a new kind of guy like that, maybe we shouldn't just say, oh, he's a seventh-round draft pick, and that's just, you know, a product of the summer. Maybe it's time to start taking that more seriously. I'm not saying teams don't do that for sure. The Eagles clearly have really honed in on finding practice squad talent, obviously, but maybe teams are going to start looking harder on that.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I think what it does is it creates more. I mean, Philadelphia is going to be a destination for a lot of guys that slip through the cracks and don't get drafted.
Sure.
You know, you're going to see a lot of these guys that, and their agents are going to want to get them over to Philadelphia because of the success that they've shown. You know, you have a guy there for 3 years who you give a chance to. He's, you know, you had him stick around for 3 years. You know, these guys last. These guys have staying power in the NFL. And, you know, I think that, you know, it'll hopefully Eagles fans will, you know, maybe not turn the game off at halftime in the preseason and, you know, pay attention to some of these guys because,
right,
you know, they could end up playing a role down the line here. And, you know, I understand that they're not always household names and, you know, that they're, you know, they're store brand, you know, if you will, but a lot of these guys do have talent and folks are starting to see that here. And, you know, it's kind of rewarding that, you know, a lot of the guys that I've written about and tried to get their story out, that they're integral pieces to a playoff team. And
yeah,
it's so cool to see.
And I think it's tough for those guys, too, just because of that label. I really do think that holds back a lot of these players. And, you know, especially quarterbacks, too. If you're a quarterback now that's, you know, a fourth to seventh round draft pick, Andrew, or undrafted, really, unless you get a Tony Romo-type injury for Dak Prescott to seize that opportunity, odds are, even if, you know, you flash a little bit at the end of the season, teams are going to be looking to move on that next year and find a first or second round pick. But the Eagles, at least, clearly do prioritize that talent. And we mentioned a plethora of guys, but how about two? Like you said, I mean, they're going to be able to bring in a lot of undrafted players now. You see what TJ Edwards has done on special teams this year and against the run at linebacker. And, you know, Corey Clement, his rookie season, having 100 yards in the Super Bowl. And how about just, you know, getting Craven LeBlanc off the streets last year down the stretch? I think it's, you know, it's kind of frustrating that it took this long into the season for the Eagles to realize what they had. But at the same time, you know, over the last 3 years, you got to give Howie Roseman credit for finding these guys. It's hard, especially in the middle of the season to the end, to find production when you just throw these players into the fire in the midst of a playoff run, especially at 5-7 when you had to win every game.
Yeah, it's really hard to find talent in the middle of the season. You know, a lot of fans get upset when they don't go out and actively, you know, look to sign someone or trade for someone. But sometimes you know what you have on the practice squad, and there's a familiarity there. And a lot of these, you know, there's a familiarity, like with the quarterback and the system and everything. Like, it's a very intricate system, and that can't really – it takes, you know, sometimes it takes players a year to get that thing down. So that you see these guys get promoted, and they're getting a fair shake. And, you know, yeah, it stinks that it took this long. It was frustrating for me every year knowing that, you know, you had all this talent sitting there and, you know, they weren't getting a chance to show it on Sundays, but, you know, they're getting a chance now and I can't wait to see what happens on Sunday.
Hey, specifically about Boston Scott and Greg Ward, you know, like we said, it's kind of crazy that you could have had this kind of production throughout the middle of the season and down the stretch. They're just kind of waiting in the wings while they had Jordan Matthews out there and Jay Ajayi, but now those two especially have really carried this offense. Those two are going to have roles next year, I think for sure, in 2020. What do you think those roles are, though? Is Boston Scott now suddenly maybe RB2? Is Greg Ward your slot receiver moving forward, or at least, you know, wide receiver 4? I feel like those two specifically have at least some sort of guaranteed role for 2020.
You're right, they do, and they have to. I mean, you look at the production, they're doing it against NFL talent. They're NFL players, so I would say that Boston Scott's probably going to be an RB3, and I don't think he's a long-term RB2. I don't think that's his role, but as for Greg Ward, I see him as a wide receiver 4. And I think that they'll look to they're going to probably draft a receiver or two, and they almost have to. And there's a lot of slot receivers in the draft. but he'll have a role. If nothing else, he'll be a punt returner. He may even start the season as a slot receiver.
He certainly
They're glue guys. Like, those are guys that are going to be on the team, and they're going to be a big part of their success moving forward, for sure.
Yeah, they certainly won't be on the practice squad anymore, that's for sure. You know, Scott, too, Andrew, I think he's going to be really important this week in the wild card round against Seattle, who they're 29th against running backs this year in the passing game. Scott had 84 receiving yards last week. Also, Seattle's allowing 117 rushing yards per game, which is 22nd, 4.9 yards per carry, which is 28th. I think he is, especially with Miles Sanders' injury, although he's expected to play, I think Boston Scott is going to be huge in this playoff game.
I agree with you there, and I would add to that, my player of the game, I think it's going to be Rob Davis.
Okay.
Rob Davis runs a 4.4. He's 6'3". He high points the football extremely well. You saw that last week. Unfortunately, got caught back with a Vitae holding penalty.
That was an incredible catch.
It was. And I think there, he kind of started to see he earned Carson Wentz's trust. And I think it took him a little bit longer maybe to get comfortable with the system. You know, he has been here since October, but I think it took him maybe a little bit longer. But I think that he can be a weapon. And you have to take a couple deep shots down the field with him because, you know, they lack that vertical passing game. And that can only get you so far. You can't go. I mean, you eventually have to, you know, stretch out the secondary, at least give them the pose as a threat that you're willing to do that. And he's the most capable of doing that. And he high points the ball really well. He tracks the ball really well. And I think that he's going to find success in the secondary against Seattle.
I do think they need to take more shots to him down the field, and you were talking about that during the game. And even, you know, when they first called him up, I wasn't really familiar with him, and I went back to some of his college tape, and I think that was the biggest takeaway, was some of the tough catches that we've been watching, you know, Andrew, teams across the NFL have wide receivers make these impossible catches all year. And not a single guy could do it for Carson Wentz. And, you know, you watch Robert Davis in college and you're like, wow, he did that. And, you know, you saw that against the Giants. So I agree, man. I think they got to use him more.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the key. I think, you know, you'll get the chain movers and Greg Ward and Boston Scott. But I think it'll be another unsung hero, and that should be Rob Davis.
Last thing for you here, Andrew, sticking on the theme of offense, when we're talking about a lot of these underrated, I would say, guys that have not come out of nowhere, but to a lot of the media and fans, it's players that we're not really super familiar with. And the Eagles actually made another signing today on offense with a young player. They signed rookie running back Elijah Holyfield coming out of Georgia. He was on the Carolina Panthers practice squad. You actually spoke with him during the draft process when he came out of Georgia. And, you know, I think a lot of people actually thought he was one of the top backs on tape, but he, you know, tested out. He, in the combine, his pro days wasn't off the charts when it comes to his workouts there. But, you know, you talk to him. What kind of guy is he on and off the field, the style of play? What should Eagles fans maybe expect from Elijah Holyfield, by the way, the son of Evander Holyfield? If Jordan Howard still can't go, if Miles Sanders is limited, what might we see from Elijah Holyfield?
When I spoke to Elijah, you know, he's an intense guy. He's a great kid. You know, you could tell he loves the game. He said that his mindset is when he gets the ball, he's trying to run through you. And, you know, you see that when you watch him play. You know, defenders are like bowling pins, when he gets the ball, people just go flying everywhere. He's a downhill runner. He doesn't necessarily have the best change of direction. He doesn't have that long speed, but he will serve a role, and he can get you those tough yards. And he does have outstanding contact balance. And if you watch any of his highlights, he's one of the most exciting running backs to watch last year in college football.
Andrew DiCecco, Eagles coverage on Patreon, and he reports for the Jaguar Maven. Also, just everybody knows, I mean, he's going to be great coverage 12 months of the year, but with the draft season coming up especially, guys, make sure you follow him on Twitter and all his written coverage. So, Andrew, just real quick, where can everybody find you on social media and all your content? Because it's some great stuff, and I think especially now what you're doing with what the Eagles, with how they made the playoffs, I think it's a perfect time for you to be doing this for the Birds.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be at the East-West Shrine Bowl. I'm going down in 2 weeks to Florida, so I'll be covering some more, you know, hopefully uncovering some more diamonds in the rough there. I'll be putting content out on Pro Football Network, and I'll be also putting stuff out on Sports Illustrated's Jaguar Maven, and as well as my Eagles Patreon page. And you can find me on Twitter at A DiCecco NFL, DiCecco NFL. And I'm more than happy to talk football, talk Eagles football, talk NFL football, talk draft with anyone.
Andrew DiCecco, thank you so much, man, for coming on the show.
My pleasure, man. Happy New Year.
All right, everybody, welcome back in Locked On Eagles, this bonus Wednesday edition of the podcast, because we also have our first preview of the Eagles wild card matchup this Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field against the Seattle Seahawks. Gino Camilleri going to be doing the crossover Wednesday edition with Locked On Seahawks. But, you know, you guys heard me on Stock Up, Stock Down yesterday, and I didn't get into any of the practice squad players or a lot of these backups like TJ Edwards and, you know, Matt Pryor, because I wanted to hold off and have this conversation with Andrew DiCecco. And again, you can check out his Eagles coverage. It's awesome. Make sure you pay for it on Patreon. It's totally worth what you're going to spend for his coverage, especially during the offseason, because then you're going to know ahead of time who a Greg Ward is, who Boston Scott is, what Deontay Burnett is all about. So make sure, once again, you follow him on Twitter, you check out his Patreon coverage and also his draft stuff at the Pro Football Network. And, you know, I agree with him. It's cool, especially when you talk to these guys in the offseason and you evaluate them, to see them not only succeed in the NFL, but to a level where you're carrying an Eagles team into the playoffs after being 5-7 and seemingly being broken. Like, for Greg Ward, Boston Scott, Joshua Perkins, Robert Davis, like these kind of players to be the reason they make the playoffs, it's not what you expected last summer, for sure, but it's such an awesome story that, you know, you and NFL fans, the media, will really never forget, because it's one of the most unique runs in football stories. And it's, I love these kind of stories. It's why I wanted to go into this career field for stories like this. So it was an awesome podcast to have Andrew on. We hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did talking to him. And it makes me feel better that when I watch Bruce Anderson at North Dakota State or Darwin Thompson from Utah State, that my eyes aren't lying to me, that just because these guys are on a smaller level at school or where they get drafted, that doesn't always matter. You know, the first round picks, the second round picks, the highly paid free agents, they're going to get the more chances for sure. But like, don't, like, labeling is it, and you could just go through this lesson in life in general, not just sports, but, you know, seventh round pick, an undrafted guy, it doesn't matter. And the Eagles are a perfect example of that. Corey Clement, Craven LeBlanc, you know, TJ Edwards and Matt Pryor and Jalen Mills was a seventh round draft pick. Greg Ward, everyone that we mentioned today. And he, look, Carson Wentz, for, yes, he is one of the best quarterbacks in football, and he was a second overall pick, and he almost won MVP. At the same time, this is a kid that went to North Dakota State in the FCS, and a lot of people said because of that, that he wasn't someone that could maybe be a franchise quarterback on the NFL level. So I think this podcast, I think this Eagles season, and a lot of what these other guys like Raheem Mostert are doing, you know, across the league, I think it's a good lesson for teams, for fans, for the media to not really judge or put too much emphasis on a player's evaluation based on where they went to school or where they got drafted. It's really just about the tape, it's about the production, and it's about the kind of player that they are, more so than anything else. So that's going to be my final thoughts on today's edition of Locked On Eagles. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can always subscribe to our podcast to get shows like this 4 to 6 times a week downloaded into your phone on any podcast platform. Just tell Siri or Alexa to play Locked On Eagles, or you can check it out on LockedOnEagles.com as well. And of course, the conversation always continues on Twitter. Make sure to follow us at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. Once again, thanks to our guest, Andrew DiCecco, for joining us on the show. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.